The Lord is good
all the time,
A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our church family, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping with us on Zoom, and those who will be listening to our church service from our church's website. After the service, we are all invited to go to the church hall for teas and coffees. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn, 364, All Glory, Lord and Honor.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Faithful and steadfast God, you are the one who opens our ears morning by morning. You speak and you do not turn back. When the way is costly and obedience is hard, you remain our help and our strength. In Jesus Christ, we see love made flesh, a love that is patient and kind, a love that does not insist on its own way, a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We come to you not because we understand everything, but because you are trustworthy. We come with our questions, our gratitude, our weariness, and our praise. Lift our faces toward you, steady our hearts in your presence, and draw us again into the life of faith, hope, and love that does not fade. Merciful God, you call us to listen as disciples, yet we confess that we often close our ears. We prefer familiar paths to faithful obedience. We shrink back when following Christ becomes uncomfortable or costly. You call us to love, not in word alone, but in patient and generous action. Yet we confess that our love can be thin. We are quick to speak and slow to listen. We insist on our own way. We grow resentful. We lose hope. Forgive us where we have been proud. Make us humble. Where we have been harsh, make us kind. Where we have turned away from the cross, turn us again toward the one who did not turn back. By your mercy, renew us. Teach us to walk in the way of enduring love, until faith becomes sight and hope is fulfilled in you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As the deer pants for the water, 550.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Good morning. How are you this morning? You good? Do you like the weather? No. But it's bright. There's some sunshine. You don't like the sunshine? It's bright, but it's also very cold, isn't it? But it's our weather, so we have nothing to do about that. How was your week? Did you have a nice week at school? No, not at school. You're on holiday. Oh, yes, since Wednesday. The whole week, where were you? In where? Oh, wow. Did you enjoy that? Welcome back. So tomorrow you go back to school. Are you happy? You are not happy. But you need to go to school. Yeah? It's a good thing. Now let me start with a few questions. Have you ever said, I love my pizza? Have you ever said that? It's a weird question. But I'm sure you love your food, don't you? So have you ever said, I love my pizza? No. But you do love your pizza when you have one. How many of you play football? None. Any games? So what do you love? Now tell me. What have you ever said you love so much? You can't remember anything that you love? What about your toys? Yes? What? Drawing. Oh, yes. Love drawing. So you probably said, I love my drawing or drawings.
I love to play with my model trainers.
You love play with your friends.
My model trainers.
Your modern trainers.
My model trains.
Trains. Oh, sorry. I think I'm getting problems with my hearing. Good. Yes. So there are things that we love, but we also love people, don't we? We love people. Which kind of people do we love? We love our parents, we love our siblings, we love our friends, we love people. Now in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about love, and he explains how we should love. And what real love is all about. And he says, love is patient and love is kind. How many of you are patient? Let me see your hand. Do you know what it means to be patient? What does it mean to be patient?
Be able to wait your turn.
Be able to wait your turn. Very beautiful answer. Yes? Very good answer. Can we put our hands together for these children? You are so brilliant. Wait your turn. Now, in Africa, we can be very impatient sometimes. So when I first came to the UK, I would forget myself and try to skip the queue at the shop. And I found out people did not like that at all. People did not like that at all. So you have to wait your turn. So that's patience. And then what does it mean to be kind? Yes.
Be helpful.
Be helpful. Share your toys with other people, even your food. So patience and kindness. And also, Paul says that love doesn't go with anger. You know, sometimes we can be very angry. Do you know what it means to be angry? What does it mean to be angry? Yes.
Sometimes you might hurt other people.
You might hurt other people when you are angry. Or sometimes you pick up things in the house and throw away when you are angry. And Paul says that is not love. Love is patient. Love is kind. You wait for your turn. You also do nice things to people. You share what you have with people. And if you see a friend in school who is not happy, what do you do? What do you do with such friends? You can go to them and say, what's happening with you? You can listen to them. You try to help people. So that is love. So Christian people like us, we are called to that kind of love. Not just loving food or loving things, but loving people. Being kind to people. Being patient. Waiting for our own turn. And again, Paul says, love does not keep a record of wrongs. How many times have you reminded your sister or brother or even your dad or your mom something that happened last year? So Paul says, if we keep a record of wrongs or the things that people have done to us which we did not like, it is not love. So God's children are loving children, loving one another, loving the people we know, loving even the people we don't know. Love is patient. Love is kind. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us manifested in Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sent into the world to show us how to love. And we pray for our children, O Father. They're a huge blessing to all of us and to our church family. Continue to strengthen them and give them that spirit of love for themselves, for one another, and for your people everywhere and at all times. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Get over it, so long, you can't get under it, so long. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, reading verses 5 to 9, and you'll find this on page 737 of the Pew Bibles. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. And our New Testament reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18, reading verses 31 to 34. And you'll find this on page 1053 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus again predicts his death. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let us join together singing hymn 392, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word, quiet our assumptions and steady our hearts. Where we think we already understand, give us humility. Where we struggle to understand, give us patience. Open our minds to hear clearly. Open our hearts to receive deeply. And open our lives to be changed by your Spirit. Lead us further into the truth of Christ than we have yet traveled. Amen. My theme for this sermon is when we thought we understood. When we thought we understood. And let me begin with something really simple. Most of us have reached that stage in life where we have learned not to say, "Oh, I know exactly what that's like," too quickly. Because experience has a way of humbling us. Just when we think we have got something neatly understood, life adds another layer. Take something ordinary. You think you understand what retirement will be like. Then it arrives, and it turns out to be busier than you imagined, or quieter than you expected, or simply different from the picture you had in your head. Or think of becoming a grandparent. You have already raised children. You assume you know the territory. And then that small person arrives, and somehow your heart expands in a way you did not quite see coming. Even the younger families among us will know this feeling. We read the parenting books. We listen to advice. And then at 3 a.m, with a crying baby and no clear answers, we realize there is a difference between knowing about something and living it. Life is full of moments like that. We think we understand until we don't. And if that is true of ordinary things, how much more is it true of faith? Many of you have sung the hymns for 50 or 60 years. We can recite the words. We know the story of the cross by heart, forgiveness, suffering, trust, and sacrifice. We have heard these things preached countless times. And yet when suffering visits our own doorstep, when loss becomes personal, when prayers seem unanswered, we often discover that what we thought we fully understood still has depths we have not yet explored. I think it was the philosopher Blaise Pascal who once wrote, "The heart has its reason, which reason does not know." There are truths about the cross that cannot be grasped by explanation alone. They must be walked through. They must be received. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells his disciples plainly what is about to happen. He speaks clearly about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, and yet the passage ends with a striking sentence: they understood none of these things. They thought they understood who Jesus was. They had followed him for years, and still when he spoke, most clearly they could not see it. Dear friends, as we begin the season of Lent, perhaps that is a fitting place to begin. Not with the assumption that we have mastered the story, but with the humility to admit that there is always more to see, more to receive, and more to understand. In Luke 18, Jesus takes the 12 aside. They are nearing Jerusalem. Luke tells us that Jesus had set his face toward the city. He knows what lies ahead. He says to them, "Everything written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." That must have sounded thrilling. The Messiah, the promises, the long-awaited kingdom at last.
But then Jesus continues, he will be handed over, mocked, spat upon, flogged, killed, and on the third day he will rise. Luke tells us plainly, they understood none of these things. The disciples were not slow. They just did not have a framework for a suffering Messiah. They had read the scriptures, but they had filtered out the parts about humiliation and sacrifice. They expected glory without pain and victory without wounds. And before we shake our heads at them, we might admit we often do the same. Lent confronts us with the part we would rather skip, the cross, the cost, the long road to Jerusalem. In Scotland and across the United Kingdom, we are living through uncertain times. Many feel economic pressure, communities feel divided, public trust is fragile. Across the world, we see wars, displacement, environmental crisis, and deep religious and cultural tensions. We hear strong voices promising simple solutions. We long for quick fixes. But Jesus Christ does not offer a shortcut to resurrection. He walks through suffering, not around it. The disciples could not see that the cross was not a detour from God's plan, but its fulfillment. The apparent defeat would be the very means of redemption. That truth speaks powerfully into our contemporary world. In a culture that prizes strength, influence, and winning, the way of Christ still looks strange. In politics, in public discourse, even sometimes in the church, we are tempted to believe that louder is better, that power secures peace, and that fear will keep us safe. Yet the cross tells another story. It tells us that self-giving love is stronger than violence, that forgiveness is braver than revenge, and that hope can grow even in the soil of suffering. The cross does not call us to withdraw from the world's pain. It calls us to engage in difficulty. For the disciples, understanding only came later. After the resurrection, they looked back and realized that Jesus had told them the truth all along. Their confusion did not cancel God's plan. It simply showed that they were still learning. Dear friends, that should encourage us. There are things in our lives right now that simply do not make sense. Personal losses that still feel sharp months or years later. A diagnosis that changed everything in a single conversation, strained relationships that leave a quiet ache at family gatherings, concerns about our children and grandchildren, and yes, questions about the future of the Church of Scotland. Will it survive? Will it matter? Will faith still take root in the next generation? We hear Jesus' promise, we read the words, we repeat them in worship, but sometimes there is a gap between what we confess with our lips and what we feel in our homes. Do not be afraid. Take heart. I am with you always. Now let me share a story as I bring this to a close. There was a woman named Margaret, not one of the Margarets we have in our church. A woman named Margaret who had attended the same small Scottish kirk for over 50 years. She had been baptized there, married there, and buried her husband there. She knew every pew that creaked and every draft that slipped under the old wooden door. So one winter, the congregation was told the numbers were falling again. Finances were tight. There was talk of linking parishes, maybe even closing. Margaret went home that Sunday heavy-hearted. Lord, she prayed, I've given my life to this place. What are you doing?
A few weeks later, her grandson came to stay. He was 12, restless and not particularly interested in church. On the Sunday morning, he asked, "Granny, why do you even bother going? There's hardly anyone there." She paused. She could have given him statistics or arguments. Instead, she said, "Because this is where I learned that I am not alone." That morning, the heating failed in church. The singing was thin. The sermon was ordinary. But during the prayers, one of the elders mentioned a local family who had lost their home in a fire. Without fuse, the small congregation organized meals, clothing, and temporary accommodation before the service ended. On the walk home, her grandson said, "Gran, is that what church is?" She smiled, "Aye, that's part of it." Years later, that same boy would tell someone that he first saw real faith not in a grand cathedral or a viral sermon, but in a cold, half-empty church where people quietly showed up for one another. Margaret never saw the full outcome. She never knew how that ordinary Sunday would echo. She just kept turning up. Now, here is the point. We often want God to explain himself. We wait. We want clarity before obedience. We want reassurance before trust. But faith rarely works that way. The disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying as they walked toward Jerusalem. They could not connect his promises with the coming cross. Only later did they see that what looked like collapse was actually fulfillment. In the same way, we may not understand what God is doing in our lives or in our nation or even in our church. We may look at shrinking numbers, cultural shifts, and global instability and wonder whether the best days are behind us. But God has never been confined to strong numbers, comfortable buildings, or predictable outcomes. The Church of Scotland has faced upheaval before, wars, reformations, social revolutions, and still the gospel has endured, not because it was fashionable, not because it was easy, but because it is true. And truth does not depend on trends. The promises of Christ are not abstract slogans, they are anchors. When he says, "I am with you," he does not mean only in the seasons that make sense. He means in hospital corridors, in strained conversations, in half-empty sanctuaries, and in anxious headlines. There will always be things we do not understand, but we are not asked to understand everything. We are asked to trust the one who does. And here is the rousing part. If the cross teaches us anything, it is this. What looks like an ending may be the very place God is beginning something deeper. If the resurrection teaches us anything, it is this. Decline is not destiny. Loss is not final. Death is not the last word. So let us not measure our hope by what we can currently see. Let us show up. Let us pray boldly. Let us love stubbornly. Let us serve generously. Let us speak graciously and let us build faithfully. Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, when we see only in part, remind us that you see clearly. When we do not understand the road before us, teach us to trust the one who has walked it. Guard us from empty words. Form in us a love that is patient and kind, not proud or self-seeking. When strength feels small and the future uncertain, anchor us in what endures, for love never fails. Give us faith when we cannot see, hope when the way is unclear, and root us deeply in the love of Christ. Amen.
Our next hymn is 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Please be seated. Let us dedicate the offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, all that we have comes from you. Receive these gifts given from what you have first placed in our hands. Take them and use them for your purposes, to serve, to strengthen, to comfort, and to share the love of Christ in this community and beyond. And take us as well, that our lives, not only our offerings, may be signs of faith, hope, and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray for ourselves and for the world. And there is a response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving and faithful God, you are patient and kind. When we see only in part, you see the whole. When we falter in understanding, your purposes stand firm. As we reflect on the road to Jerusalem, we pray for a world that longs for glory without cost, solutions without sacrifice, and peace without forgiveness. Where there is war, bring the courage of self-giving love. Where communities are divided, raise up patient voices. Where fear is loud, make kindness stronger still. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our own nation, for Scotland and the wider United Kingdom. In uncertain times when trust feels fragile and confidence wavers, teach us again that love is not proud or self-seeking. Guard us from harsh words and quick judgments. Help leaders and citizens alike to seek what is true, honorable, and just. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We pray for your church and for this congregation in Newport on Tay. When numbers shrink and questions grow, keep us from losing heart. If we speak with eloquence but lack love, we gain nothing. So root us deeply in what lasts. Faith that trusts, hope that endures, and love that never fails. Lord, in your mercy. We bring before you those whose suffering feels personal and sharp, those facing illness or diagnosis, those walking through grief, those carrying quiet family tensions, those anxious about children and grandchildren. When understanding escapes us, hold us fast. When explanations fall short, let love remain. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, teach us to walk the way of Christ, not seeking strength through dominance, but through service, not demanding certainty before obedience, but trusting the one who sees clearly. For now, we see only in part, but one day we shall see face to face. Until then, keep us faithful, and may faith, hope, and love abide among us, and the greatest of these be love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's bring our service to its close by singing 457, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.